Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome back to Radio Islam International with me, Sister Faiza Munshi, on this Wednesday morning. Today on New Horizons, we're talking about building grit through difficulties, building resilience, building that ability to move forward. On the line with me is Uneza Suleiman. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Uneza.
Wa alaikum salam, Sister Faiza, and the respected listeners of Radio Islam. Thank you for having me today. I think this topic is extremely relevant. I was listening earlier. At present times, there are so many of us that are afflicted with a violation of our rights. I mean, with COVID, it is, you know, very uncertain times. And we all have been affected by depression, grief, and spiritual malaise. So thank you so much for having me. I hope that this program brings a lot of hope to the listeners. Inshallah.
You know, and that's the thing that I find so amazing about human experience, is the ability to push through no matter what. Now, I know I've got an extensive bio here for you, but I'm just going to use a small piece of your bio, if you don't mind, to, you know, introduce you in a way that makes sense for today's program. You know, I know that much of what your experience you're using in order to uplift others. And I just want to say that you say that you're an entrepreneur, you call yourself a fempreneur and a household name for your success story and what you've been able to achieve. But you also say that you'd like to, I need to do something with myself, with a purpose greater than myself, right? There's oftentimes that people are able to push through their difficulties and through their challenges, but they don't often take other people with them to a better level, to a higher level, to be able to move them to a place where things would be better. And that's what you allude to in your bio, that, you know, life is about not just being able to make a difference for yourself, but being able to take others through with you in that positive space.
Absolutely. I think being presented with so many trials, tribulations, tests in my life, if it was not for the people around me and the support that I've had from my family and friends, I wouldn't be the person I am today. So I am so grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for putting these people in my life. But mostly, those that touch my lives, it's only fair that we reciprocate what the universe has given me and touch other women's lives, because I think there is a lack of this where women support one another. Instead of using a story as being judgmental or
I think what often happens is people take a story often out of context, and we're going to talk about that through the program. You know, being able to use someone's story as more of a almost like a trampoline to boost ourselves into a, you know, in a way that will be better for us, as opposed to using it as a judgmental space where we can judge others and sit back sort of on a high horse, sort of. Yeah. So we're definitely going to bring that into today's program. But I want to really start off with the aspect of you as a woman who wears many hats, as many women. You know, you wear many hats. And how much of who you are comes down to the difficulties and the tough experiences you've had to deal with in life? How much of who you've become is due to those difficult experiences?
So I tell everyone that I love the woman that I am today, because if it was not for the lessons and the hardships, I wouldn't have been the strong and resilient, and I wouldn't be able to come forward and say, I have a platform, yes, I have a successful business, but it's not about that. I have become the voice for the voiceless to stand up. And, you know, Sister Faiza, there are so many women that are struggling at the moment, and I think it's important for us to say it's okay. You're not the only person that is going through A, B, and C, and you're going to go through this. You're going to be a survivor, or you are a survivor. There is life after any affliction or pain, whatever you're going through. And if I could do it, knowing what I've been through, then anyone else can do it. It's just a mindset, and having that taqwa, and also having the closeness to Allah, and having faith in Him that, you know what, we believe in Qadr, and your life has been written out for you. You just need to go through the process.
I think that's the key, and we also will very much expound on that concept later on in the program. But really, truly, to be able to bring that to the fore in the beginning of the program is to understand that life's going to happen, even if you can hide as far away as you can. And I think COVID and Corona has been very much in our face to remind us of that. No matter where you are, no matter who you are, no matter how much you try and protect yourself, if something's meant to happen, it's going to happen.
Correct. I think the biggest thing here is more about educating yourself, knowing as a female, maybe we're elaborating a little too soon in the program, but I just feel like women don't understand their rights. Women don't know what Islam has given us. And I think for me, I want to use my platform now after doing a course on www.youthforrights.org. It changed my mindset and my perception on life because I didn't even know that there were 30 human rights that was available, that it's there for every human. And once you know your rights, you can lead a dignified life.
And you let's go into that. I mean, while you are talking about it, let's go into that, and then we'll pick up on all the other aspects that we are going to talk about today anyway. What are some of the key aspects of this human rights that stood out for you that you thought, okay, I really didn't know that was important, but now that I've seen this, I mean, it changes my life. What are some of the, if you can pick out some of the key ones that you found absolutely, important for you that you learned this at this stage in your life?
So one of the human rights is that every human has a right to lead a dignified life, like I said just now. I'm going to get into my notes quickly. And they are, from the 30 human rights, we're allowed to voice our opinions without being silenced. And I think females generally don't have a voice. We have the right or the freedom of expression. We have the freedom of thought. So we must be able to think openly and out of the box. We have the right of life. I mean, how often are we robbed of just living a fruitful life?
Yeah, and I think, when you say that, it actually just brings my mind back to the time of Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, in the time of sort of ignorance, when women didn't have the right to life, where they were actually even, you know, killed in child in their childhood. So being able to, I mean, there's such a broad way of looking at this aspect of the right to life. You can be alive, yet you can still be, you almost feel dead if you're not given, if, for example, you are either abused or you kept down or you pulled back in life, not allowed to do different things with your life, or obviously within Sharia, etc. But in terms of being able to look at our deen and the aspect of education, etc., and it being so open to the woman being able to be educated and, you know, being able to run her businesses, lead her life, etc. So I think there's many ways in which we do use things to our own advantage, and particularly within a dominated environment where there's perhaps a male-dominated environment, etc., it becomes an issue. But I think also many times we need to realize as women, our own inability to want to do that, and we'll definitely talk about that, is it that we are being kept back, or is it that we just don't really want to do it, but we want to be able to sit back and judge everyone else that does?
So,
I think that's an important. Let me get to my next question with you, Ineza.
Okay.
And looking at the, you know, I talked about the fact that you wear many hats and you've been able to push through the difficulties. But you know, when we chatted about this, you said that failure is something that you find very important. Why is failure so terribly feared, first of all, in many people, right? For many people, and why, in your own story and opinion, is the failure such a massive building block for your success?
So, I think, when people look at my story and they see from social media, they see this perfect life or the epitome of a great life, but they don't see the hardship, the pain, and that the trials that I've been through. It's all very fluffed up, right? I think what I want to say is I have failed in many situations, right? And I can say with conviction that success is good, but failure is even better. And if it was not through my failure, I would not have learned the tools to be the person that I am. If I didn't go, failure redirects you to something far better in your life. And earlier on when you and I chatted and I said to you, there's khair in all things bad. And it's only after you come out of a bad situation do you realize that, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has actually redirected your course and has protected you from so many other afflictions, and you've been affected, you could have been affected in far greater degrees. So failure is so important, and a lot of us look at failure as a bad thing, and we don't see that, okay, in the situation, there's something wrong, but what is Allah putting us through this? Why? Why is he putting me through this test? What is he teaching me? What is he telling me? Get out of the situation. There's something else better out there. We always look at the closed door. And unfortunately, there is the stigma that if a woman is successful in one aspect of her life, then she's failing in the other. And I want to clarify this because you can be a successful businesswoman or a successful housewife, and you can be a good mother, and you can be a good wife. You can fill all of those hats that you talk about perfectly, and there's nothing wrong with it. If you're failing in one, that's called balance. Sometimes you might give one area of your life more attention and less to the other, and that's okay. But women are so hard on themselves, and we self-destruct, and we blame ourselves for everything that goes wrong in our lives, and we forget that, you know what? Destiny has been pre-written out, and it's okay. I think women need to hear this every single day. They need to stand in front of the mirror and say, I am enough. I am good. I am good enough. I am a great mom. I am a wonderful person. But instead, we stand in front of the mirror and we say, I could have done better. I should have cooked more. I should have dressed up more or spent more time on my musala. Or, you know, I should have jumped more. Or, you know, like there's always something that we blame ourselves as a female. And it's so sad to see this because they are such dynamic women that are limited by their self-belief of themselves. And I think this is the mindset that we need to change, that you are enough as a woman. Especially now with Women's Month, we shouldn't be celebrating and encouraging women and giving them a voice only during this month. It's all through the year, because all through the year, women work so hard.
I think what you said is so, so powerful, and I always allude to it on the programs at this time on a Wednesday, to the fact that as women, we really give ourselves a hard time. We really don't give ourselves enough credit. And like you said, being able to say the words, I am enough, is very difficult for many women, because at the back of just saying it, they feel that, you know, even if I say it out loud, I'm cheating myself because I don't believe it. So I think what you said is so powerful, being able to believe that it's okay not to be perfect in every arena of our lives. We're not meant to be perfect. We're just meant to be growing. And that, for me, is an important aspect of life, being able to just make sure that no matter where we are, we're still on a growth curve, at least in some areas of our life. And I think that's what's really important, being able to understand that no matter, even if you're a mother and that is your, you know, your main target, to be able to just be the best mother to your children, even in that arena, we can just find ways to be able to find, you know, avenues where we can just grow in every aspect without trying to be perfect. And I think that's very important, what you've pointed out, understanding that we are enough, but we don't need to be perfect in everything in our lives. In terms of you as a person, why do you think that physically taking care of ourselves as women is so important, no matter our circumstances? Because we often use, you know, when it comes to physically taking care of ourselves, we often use the excuse, I know I don't have that much, I don't have that much money to spend on myself, for example, etc. But what are some of the avenues that we can use to physically take care of ourselves without making the excuses? And why is that particularly important for us as women?
I think I'm going to break this down into two parts, right? So taking care of yourself, one, it's time, okay? Exercising, it's time away from family, it's time away from work, it's time away from society, and you need to cut out in that hour. And a lot of women feel guilty to put the time in themselves. So I know I went through this process where I felt so bad if I had to go to the gym or I did yoga or I took a run because I felt like my children were being neglected or my business was being neglected. So that's the first part. And definitely the second part, people feel that if you do look after yourself, it is a very expensive exercise. Mm. So recently I went to the longevity clinic and the doctor there said to me, do you know how important it is for a human being that lives a very fast-paced life to have a bath? And I was like, what are you talking about? I mean, I have a shower at night. Like, what's the issue? And he was like, no. The psychological benefits of just submersing yourself in a hot tub and just relaxing and, you know, unwinding, it's so important for a woman to do that, and especially because we lead such fast-paced lives. We women feel guilty that if we do that, then we are selfish and we are self-centered and we think it's an expensive exercise to look after ourselves. There's a very important saying that says, you look good, you feel good. If you exercise, you release all these good feel-good hormones, which ultimately makes you want to eat better, and it leads to everything else falling into place. If I tell you, and it might sound so crazy, if I tell you that if I don't exercise, so if my fitness journey is bad and I'm, you know, the wheels fall off, mm-hmm. then automatically my spiritual life is affected. So I feel like the two go hand in hand, because it almost creates a sense of balance when I'm exercising, whether I'm running or I'm doing yoga. I just take time for myself, whether it's a stretching exercise. Movement is so important. You know, women feel so guilty, and I feel so bad, because in my industry, I see that. I see how a woman will come in and be like, no, I'll budget for it next month. Okay, no problem. Or they feel that they need to lie about what they're doing. So before, clients would come in and pay. This is the funny thing now. We're telling men our secrets. But they'll pay cash for the majority of the treatment and pay a small part of it on credit card, so that the husband only sees that she paid 500 Rand, for example, on her laser treatment, whereas she spent 3,000 Rand, because she feels guilty to spend so much money on herself.
Is it because women feel that they're not worth it? Is that the underlying issue here?
It could be that. I can't say for sure whether it's a lack of self-worth, and we've been made to believe that everything else is a priority and we are secondary. And this is so sad, because you are the most important being in your life.
Now, the opposite, I want to talk about the other side, and I know this is might come across as a question that, oh, Faiza, you know, why are you putting that out there? But I think it's something we need to ask, and we need to talk about as women, because many women do experience it within our communities, for example. So the opposite effect of women who neglect to perhaps take care of themselves, right? And yes, for whatever reason, whether it's financial, whether it's physical, whether it's because they may be in a difficult space, but sometimes some women just don't make the time to take care of themselves. They become neglectful of themselves. And then the aspect of they then become envious of those who actually take care of themselves. How do we just fix that problem? Because that is a problem within our society. Oneza? Oneza, are you there? Sorry, I seem to have lost my guest today. We're going to take a short break. It was time for a bit of a break anyway. So let me take a bit of a break. When we come back, we chat to Oneza again. Stay tuned. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome back to Radio Islam International with me, Sister Faiza Munshi, and my guest, Oneza Suleiman. We're talking about building grit and resilience through difficulties. And we're looking at this aspect of us as women in particular, because we're looking from our own vantage point as women to be able to just push through the difficult times. And with what the world's going through right now, it is very important for each and every one of us to understand the importance of being able to build this grit and resilience, because it's a time of great difficulties, from loss to difficulties to loss of income, etc. So it's always good to be able to get a perspective of someone who's built themselves through some sort of difficulty and being able to get out the other side. Oneza, assalamu alaikum. Welcome back once again.
Walaikum salam. I apologize. I lost you there for a few minutes.
No, it's fine. It was time for a break anyway. It seems, it happened at the right time. So we needed an ad break. So let's get back to it. I was talking about the fact that you talk about the importance of physically taking care of ourselves and how many women may feel guilty in that space. But for some, they may even go through this aspect of neglecting themselves through their own choices, sort of lazing around, not taking care of themselves, or through maybe not being able to, maybe they think it's too expensive, whatever it is. We neglect ourselves, and over time we become despondent about how we look and how we feel, etc. But the problem with that is sometimes for some women, that point of being negative on themselves gives them a point of, you know, let me be envious of others and be judgmental of others. Is that something many women experience within our communities? And is it something that we really need to change?
It is definitely a contentious area to discuss.
Yeah, I know. I said that as I asked the question earlier. But I do think, you know, sometimes as women, when we're on a conversation, especially on a platform, we need to actually get to the real stuff. What is really happening between us as women? What are we really doing to each other? And how is it that we need to change that vantage point?
You know, have you ever walked into a room and you can feel this person, what I call the unzipping of the person, looking you down? and then looking you up and then looking you down again. That unzipping feeling, it has happened to me on so many occasions, and it automatically creates a block for myself because you can feel the energy with this person. When you walk into a room, you automatically know what sort of crowd you're dealing with. And sadly, women do this. I mean, we all are guilty of this. We'll see a beautiful woman walk in the room, and we look her down, we unzip her, and we judge her. That because she's pretty and she looks thin and her skin is good and her hair and makeup is on point, we automatically judge this person. And it's happened to me on so many occasions. And sadly, as women, we do this. And I think if we could change this mindset that, you know, we don't know what path this person is walking. We can't judge a person, because I had times where, Faiza, I might be deflecting here now, but my life was falling apart, but I would go to an event, rock it, and think, and everyone would think my life is together, but at home, everything was falling apart. Mm. And I think as women, we need to stand by one another, especially as Muslim women, because we are the ones that are silenced the most. We don't have a voice. We have to conform. It's been indoctrinated in us by our mothers and our grandmothers that we need to submit and we need to accept what we are told to do, and we just conform. And I think as women, if we look at another woman, instead of judging her, let's celebrate her. Let's celebrate her success. Let's celebrate, even when she's going through life, we don't say that, you know, she deserves it because she's always out. I mean, somebody said to me, my marriage failed because I'm always at an event. I'm always at events. That was part of my networking. When that comment came back to me, it didn't hurt me, but it did strike a nerve. How can someone judge me when they actually don't know what had happened? What is the true reason? It was failure. So I think as females, as Muslim females, we need to stand by one another. We need to support one another. A candle loses nothing by lighting another candle.
And, you know, the other side of it is also true. We look at a woman, perhaps, I mean, and that's so strange, because as women we look at others and we say, oh, you know what, we judge them by how they look. And that's so much of what the West does to us as Muslim women. So we should actually have stopped that a long time ago, of a judgment by what a woman looks like. So the West has judged a Muslim woman as being backward, etc., because, you know, Muslim women who cover themselves, who are in hijab, who are, you know, are said to be uneducated, until they hear the woman open her mouth and is very educated, and they get a shock of their lives. So perhaps it's time for us to be able to understand that we're doing the same, just in a different, from a different angle, and it's time that we need to support one another, like you say, build each other up, to be able to, like you say, celebrate the women who are building, who have success, and perhaps find out what is it that led to that success, and how is it that I can actually move myself into that space, if so, if that is something that I want as a woman. Now, Aneta, you've been through your fair share of life challenges, and you very, in the beginning of the program, you alluded to the importance of family and, you know, social settings to be able to help you in your tough times. How important, how much does family play into that aspect of coping with difficulty?
You know, everyone needs a house to live in, but a supportive family is what builds a home. And for me, I have a wonderful family, and I have supportive friends that have become family. And if it was not for them, I would not be where I am, because it's not just the financial support, it's the moral support of family. When I went through a very difficult patch, my father said to me, come home. We spoke about this on another platform. It was shocking that my father said to me, come home. And the biggest thing I said was, but what will people say, Dad? And he said, come home. I am your father, and we will deal with this. The social stigma that women feel that they have to always, it's a burden that we carry, with what will people say. And my father supported me through this. And through this support, and believe me, Sister Faiza, when I tell you, I've had some really, really hard days, emotionally, financially, spiritually. I was tested, but knowing that I have my family support behind me made those difficult days easy. I sailed through life. I weathered those storms so seamlessly that no one even knew what I was going through, because I had family support. If it was not for my dad standing by me, I would have questioned my choices and my decisions. But because I knew I found who stood by me. When my mom is late, and I have another motherly figure in my life, Auntie Rosa, who stands by me. I have my sisters who stand by me, who stood by me. And I think through that, I think if family, if their moms and their dads listening to this, they are not meant to live an unhappy life. We need to live a life that is making a difference in the world. Having dignity means treating others the way you like to be treated. But it also means that being valued and respected in whatever situation you are in. And I think family support is key to every problem that we have. And I think we need to be there and be supportive to other females. And this is why I have raised my voice, or I've rise to the occasion and saying, we are there for you. We want to support you. We have the support groups, and there's so much as sisters that we understand and can relate, and you're not the only one in the situation. You won't be the first, and you won't be the last.
Mm, absolutely. Yeah, there's challenge all over. Every human being has got their challenge at the moment. I don't think there's, peace of mind, so to speak, in many ways. Everyone has their own challenges. And how different would it be as society, I mean, if we just stop judging each other? You know, that would make quite a difference to a woman who finds herself in a difficult position, in a difficult relationship. Her choices may actually be different if she felt that, if she didn't worry about the judgment of society. Am I right?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Because I think many women make the choice, if they're in a difficult relationship, if they're in a space where they're being abused, if they're in a space where it's at a physical, emotional, mental, whatever that space is, more than the family and what the family is going to say, they're more worried about what would society say about me and my family if I were to get myself out of this difficult position, if I were to, make the choice. And I think that's very important for us as human beings and as society to understand that what we say about others is either positively or negatively impacting on the world out there. And I think we really need to watch what we say, how we say it, when we say it. And I think that's so important. And that comes really with the education from our dean and what our dean teaches us about how what's allowed and what's not allowed to be, said out, and what's allowed and what's not allowed to be discussed, etc. So I think we really need to come to the fore with who we are as Muslim women. Now, I want to go to the aspect of you being a single mom. What is your... there's a lot of single moms for various reasons, either lost, divorced, for whatever the reason might be, you're still in a position as a woman, as a single mother. What is your voice of reason, right, to single moms who are listening and they sort of beating themselves up, about not being good enough? And I know I've heard this from many a single mom, that they're not doing a good enough job. You heard that from many moms. But in your experience as a single mom, what would be your voice of reason to these women who say, I'm just failing at this, I'm not doing a good enough job?
Okay, so firstly, I'm going to tell you that whether you're a single mom or a mom with a family or a husband, parenting is so hard, right? Mothers have it so tough. I think I've always said motherhood makes you mental on its own. No matter who you are, just having children and raising kids in today's society is so difficult. I mean, it's very different, and I sound like an old lady.
No, but it's true. I often talk about this. Bringing up children is hard.
There's no textbook. My children are definitely not textbook children. So they challenge me, and I mean, I have a teenager, and it's so difficult just being a mother on its own. And then when you're a single mother, it is so difficult because you have to be mom and dad. And the only advice I can give you, and it's something I'm going to say twice because you need to feel this. Your love for your children needs to be greater than your hatred for your ex-husband or your, if you're in a divorce relationship. Your love for your children needs to be far greater than your hatred for your ex-husband, because the moment you do that, you start to put your children's feelings first. And as a mother and as a single mother, it's so difficult. I see it daily. How do you be the disciplinarian and the nurturer at the same time? It's hard. Parenting and being a single mom is so hard. We have so many roles that we need to play. I mean, just being a hard-working single mom, you've got to go to work, you've got to stick to online schooling, you've got to make sure your house is clean, feed your children, because my children eat a lot. Let me tell you, they just don't stop.
I think everyone's been eaten out of house and home through this lockdown. Don't worry, you're not alone.
You know, we're not grateful for COVID, but the pandemic has definitely given me, and I think a lot of people, a brand new outlook on life. And we took things for granted, which we now value and appreciate, because we've lost so much. And we've realized how little we need to live with and how little we need to actually live. Yeah, and I just say, you know, being a single mom, no matter what you're doing a phenomenal job. And yes, you're not going to tick all the boxes. You're going to falter. You're not perfect. We are human beings. You need to allow room for error. And parenting doesn't come with a textbook. So, you know, you can be a very strict mom, which will come with its own consequences. If you're a very chilled mother, it also comes with consequences. So there is no right or wrong. It's
finding the middle road, Uneza, for me is, that is the part of life that is difficult. Being able to find that middle road and being able to make peace with the fact that you're doing the best that you can under whatever circumstances you find yourself.
Yeah, our children don't see they don't do what we tell them to do. They do what they see us doing. So children are led by example. And your children are seeing, you have a daughter or a son, and you know that you're doing everything possible. These are the values that you're instilling in your child, because you are raising the youth, the future adults, and the progeny. So what we're doing now ultimately dictates or determines the next generation.
That very much brings me into my next question for you, Uneza, what you've said right now. Because how much of who you are, what you do, and how you build yourself up is actually built on consistency and daily practice. Because like we say, our children do what we do, and not just our children, but our life in general becomes what we do on a regular basis. For you particularly, how much has that been a truth for you?
Let's go back 5 years ago. I lived a very pretentious life. And everything I did was all fluffed up and pretty. And then I went through this process, and I needed to stand from a place of authenticity and speak my mind and speak my truth. And that is why we are here today where we are, because I just decided that I'm not going to put on this mask. And we all put these masks on, the mask to the world, the mask to our family. And I decided I'm going to take my mask and be who I am and be authentic and say it as is and be who I am, because my children are watching this. They're seeing this. And I think I don't know if I'm answering your question correctly, but I needed to be as authentic as possible, because my daughter is watching me. I am her biggest role model.
And so part of that would be how much of what you do every day becomes who you are. So, for example, if we're talking to people right now who are going through a difficult time, and that's something that they don't know where to even start getting themselves out of. So if you look at how much of what you do every day, so, for example, is there a consistent daily practice that you do, or several consistent daily things that you do that helps to build you as a person from a physical, mental, emotional, spiritual space? And how does that then feed through the aspect of building ourselves and building ourselves through and building grit through the difficulties? How much of that daily practice is important, and do you have some of those?
Absolutely. I mean, I have many mantras that I live my life by, but what I want to say is that everyone has their own outlet that helps them. So mine is exercise. Others could be cooking and baking or reading or whatever it is. Whatever you love doing, you need to be consistent with it. So when you have, when you're a creature of habit, automatically your life just falls into place. So for me, it's so easy to bounce back from hard situations, because I think for what I've been through and because the way I lead and love my life, and we all are going through hard times and difficult and testing times, whether it's financially, you know, emotionally, spiritually, loss. I mean, we've lost so many people during this time, but there's lots of things that help me. And I think one very important aspect that has brought me to where I am now is empowerment. And not just empowering the woman that I, in my platform, so my entire business is built on true skills development. It's very rewarding when you uplift another human being and you give them a job and you see how their life has changed and you've changed someone's life. I lost my train of thought. I wanted to say yes. So educating yourself is very important, and especially now during this time, we have so much of time and there's so much of free education available on the internet. And if you use your time wisely, I'm not a TV person, maybe that's someone else's outlet, but for me, I use my time to educate and self-empower. And an empowered woman is a strong woman, and nobody can take away your knowledge. And I always say to young women that are struggling, empower yourself, learn, you know, become the best version of who you are. I'm not at the perfect level that I want to be, where I want to be. I still have so many things on my bucket list that I want to tick off. But in the beginning of the year, I started, even before when COVID started, I had a vision board, and I needed to put all the things I wanted to do and get done, because now I had so much of time. And alhamdulillah, through Allah's mercy, I achieved so much during COVID, and I took the negative and I turned it into a positive. That be as it may, I have weathered this COVID pandemic hardship. There were so many businesses that have closed down, and Allah has helped me. I mean, I know that, you know, our rosy is written out for us, but you need to tie your camera. You need to work at it. It's not going to come to you. And I always say there's so much education on the internet, and it's free.
I think it's so incredible to hear you say that, because for many, I mean, we've had this conversation, friends, family, etc., and we've said, you know, this time has gone by, but what have I achieved in this time? And to know that, you know, there's so many who, through this time, have really achieved a lot. They've learned, or they've built, or they've, you know, found and made goals in this time and actually set those goals. And for many, it's been just being able to get through the day, you know, not having helpers, perhaps, just making sure that you got through the day with your kids and your families. It's all, we need to be able to tell ourselves, you know, it's okay. I've gotten through this. I'm still here, and I still can. Like you say, there's no time that we have to stop learning, so we can continue to educate ourselves. We're going to come towards the end of this interview, so I have to bring these two aspects in, which is very important. The first is, we spoke about physical care, emotional, mental, all of that. That's really key to who we become and how we get through our difficulties and it builds resilience. But how does being close to Allah and building our spirituality and our relationship with our Creator help in these testing times? Because oftentimes we say, yes, you know, I sit on the musalla and make dua, but we don't understand the actual, you know, the strength that comes from building that relationship with our Creator.
I don't think if I had my faith in my Almighty, I could bounce back this easily. I think when you have Allah in your life, you have everything. And everything falls into place, because your mindset changes. You know that whatever you're going through, Allah has is going to, if he takes you to a situation, he's going to take you through that situation. And you, and I think Allah tests us so that we can turn to him. And the moment we turn to him, you know, everything else opens up. So for me, I was very fortunate that in December I managed to go for Umrah. And my life changed there, because I just connected to my Creator spiritually. And it's amazing, like, you know, whatever you're going through, your mindset changes. It gives you a whole new perspective on life. That this is what is, it's the will of Allah, and alhamdulillah, you know. I wish I could say this to my girl child. I wish I knew what I know now, 10 to 15 years ago. I'd be a different person altogether.
Yeah, I think that that's life, right? Being able to deal with what we have in the moment, not knowing what the future holds, and being able to have faith, like you say, in these testing times, and have our Creator there at the topmost in our list of where we turn to in order to be able to deal with our difficulties. My final question to you, Nez, on today's program is, living a life with dignity, what does that mean to you, and why is that so important?
Sure. Like I said to you, every human has a right to live a dignified life. And for me, it's having self-respect and understanding what I believe in and what I stand by in, and knowing myself more than anything, understanding what I want or I like or I don't like, and what I will tolerate and not tolerate, has given me the courage to stand up and go onto any platform and speak authentically. Because if you live a life with dignity, that means you're living a happy life. Dignity, a life with dignity equals a happy life. whatever that may be in your mind, it is so important because then your head and your heart is in the right place.
It's been wonderful chatting to you, Inez, and I think some of the life lessons that you've had, inshallah, may really help our listeners, for those who go through difficult times, understanding that it does take hard work to get through the difficult times, but, you know, there's light on the other side. And what you said more than once in today's program is that Allah has a plan. He has a reason that he's putting you through some sort of difficulty, and most of the time it's for us to turn back to him. And so in this time of COVID and difficulty where many families have lost and are still going through difficulties, it is that, I think, that we need to remember, is that every difficulty is for a reason, and the main reason is that we need to turn back to Allah. It's been an absolute pleasure having you on today's program. Jazakallah so much for your time, and I hope you have a wonderful day further.